For almost 2 years, we've been talking about an addition to liquor licences whereby bottle shop attendants would pass your details on to police if they thought you were suspicious in your grog buying habits, and then police would follow up. There were concerns at the time as to what would constitute a suspicious transaction. Now, there has been an NTCAT decision last week, and licensees, we understand, have agreed to introduce the measures only when a pally isn't present. So if you purchase more than 3 cartons of full-strength beer, 12 bottles of wine, 4 bottles of spirits, or 2 cartons of ready-to-drink mixers, your details will be passed on to police after they are asked for by the attendant. Now, the new addition to the licence is set to come to effect from November 3. However, you won't be labelled suspicious. From what we've heard in the paper this morning, it will be a reportable transaction. Alex Bruce is the Chief Executive of Hospitality NT. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Grassy.
Is everyone on board with this measure, to your knowledge?
So licensees that had challenged the decision and we agreed with them and had provided some assistance from our office up in Darwin, they have all agreed with the Liquor Commission. And last Friday, we all went to the NTCAT, the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, and basically said, look, the parties have come to an agreement.
We're okay.
Get this done.
So the actual transaction, or these reportable transactions, will be when there is no pally on a bottle shop. So, and in that case, I'm just confirming what I said, it will be called not a suspicious, but a reportable transaction.
Correct. And the language did change through this process over the last couple of years because of the pushback from the community regarding any transaction that might be legitimate and big and for a party or you're going out bush or at time of think, why am I suddenly suspicious and got to be put on the suspicious register?
Are you happy with a reportable transaction instead?
Look, the point that from my perspective I'm making is Central Australia already had the toughest rules in place across the country. We keep going down, adding extra red tape, extra burden on licensees. We keep blaming all consumers for the sins of a few. And, you know, with the current spate of crime, particularly youth crime in Alice Springs, we just want there to be, when they, you know, inevitably there'll be a round table or a forum, no doubt, convened. Look somewhere else other than other additional laws on us.
It does sound like, for what you're saying, that in the end it was as though retailers had to come to the party, and this is sort of like maybe a change they could live with but not happy with.
Oh, look, there were a couple of things. So there was it was largely covered anyway. Most places had CCTV footage already. But there's additional CCTV requirements at the point of sale, and that helps police and licensing in terms of compliance with things like the BDR. So we understood that was a practical reality and needed to be agreed to. This one could have been a whole lot worse. When this process started, they were talking about potentially a Thirsty Thursday or a Thirsty Saturday, and really limiting the hours of sales for everyone in the Alice Springs community, regardless of whether you're doing bad things or not. And there was a lot of pushback in the town from that at the time. I think people justifiably are getting a little bit jacked down there of they see the crime, they see the repeat offenders. They might take a view that those repeat offenders don't necessarily get the full weight of the law thrown at them, and they're back out and they're doing what they're doing. And
but you can't really sort of point at youth offending, because the youth offending doesn't seem to be around grog. I mean, there are break and enters into licensed premises, we know that, but much of the youth offending isn't around alcohol, or am I reading it differently?
So that's the whole point. Like, you know, the town's about to go through another process, as we understand it, where, you know, everyone will be pulled into a room. Let's debate the issues. And there's poverty, there's Indigenous disadvantage, there's really complex social issues, and a contributing factor is alcohol. So therefore, okay, that's the easy one to solve. Let's come up with a new bright spark idea. Our licensees down there have seen that time and again. There's never a review of whether even the BDR worked or anything else.
That's a 4-year long process of doing the BDR, I understand. So that's still a way off.
Prohibition ultimately doesn't work. We know that, yet we still try to do that.
But we don't have prohibition. We have restriction and restrictive access to alcohol. That you can't call that prohibition.
We, we have large parts of the Northern Territory where alcohol is prohibited.
Dry
huge
areas.
Huge tracts of land.
Yeah.
Prohibited.
And that conversation has already started. We know the police commissioner has raised that issue. And at the end of the day...
Everyone does raise it. It pops up every 12 months and nothing gets done. Have a look how quickly all the politicians banded together to ensure that there was another seat for them to fill in Canberra. Where there's political will, we can drive this through. We are getting a bit jack of at the territory level. Yeah, everyone agrees that we should look at the prohibition areas, but it's federal government and we're not going to do anything for another 18 months.
Yeah, and that's true. Under the Stronger Futures legislation, that right doesn't fall back to the territory till, I think, middle of next year, if not after that.
So we didn't have a right as a territory to make sure a politician had another seat to fill. Look how quickly that's moved.
Oh, yes, I do take your point. Back to the issue of grog, and I know we have seen an uptick in alcohol-related crime. So many people are pointing at secondary supply as the issue coming in from Queensland. Do you feel as though people are still blaming local licensees for the grog problems in town? Because we have the toughest alcohol laws, as you said, in Central Australia, and more so in the Barkly.
Absolutely, and I was about to shout out to the Barkly. They're about to commit a review of what got rammed in without any consultation a couple of years ago. It was no silver bullet either, evidently. They have the toughest, most restricted trading environment. Everyone is tarred with the same brush up there, just because of the sins of those that can't manage themselves. And in spite of all the support that is in these communities that are meant to be helping solve the problem.
Must say, and we've had a 2-year process, and it was early 2018 when the really strict restrictions came in Tennant Creek, and we have seen over that time drops in alcohol related crime. So at the moment now, we're seeing what seems to be secondary supply issues coming in. So we don't need. Should we throw the baby out with the bathwater? Do we need to wind back restrictions? Because surely we should be dealing with the secondary supply question. How would you see that being dealt with?
At the time of that absolute horrible event in Tennant Creek that sparked those additional restrictions, the footage that was used and portrayed around had products that are not legally able to be sold in the Barkly in the footage. Secondary supply is an ongoing issue, has always been there, and the more you limit regulated legal supply, you're just creating this burgeoning black market.
Do you think that, say, for instance, either in Alice Springs or in Tennant Creek, if restrictions were in some part lifted, that we'd see a decrease in alcohol-related crime? Or that seems to be what you're saying?
Oh, I think we've got to sit down in a sober, rational way and have a look at these things. Often I hear radio reports and the like, there's this crime and 30% of them were alcohol-related. Okay, how about we say 70% of them weren't alcohol-related, 70% of them are attributable to other issues. Let's actually start attacking some of that.
Mm. My final question really is, given that we now have in this new licence requirement that the reportable transactions, does that mean, because that'll only happen when there are no pallies, do you think that then police will use it as an excuse to take pallies off bottle shops?
Look, that has been floated. We've discussed quite regularly with the leadership within the police, and they've made it clear that absolutely there's no intention to change any of the pally coverage in Alice Springs or Tennant Creek. But this decision does cover the outlying roadhouses and wayside inns. Mm. So it will absolutely occur there a lot more regularly. And if a pally's sick or drawn away or leaves the space whilst the bottle shops in Alice Springs are trading, this is when this additional requirement.
Just with 10 seconds, do you support the retention of pallies in their current form?
We support what the community down there thinks is appropriate, but I just do my, I'm mindful to say, you're pretty regulated and you're very, very, very wrapped up in red tape down there.
Got to leave it there. Alex Bruce, thank you.
Cheers.
Alex Bruce from Hospitality NT.